Good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise God. Good to be in the house of God. Good to be fellowshipping with God's people. Amen. Praise God. We want to welcome everyone, especially our guests online and here in the auditorium. We're glad that you're here. If you weren't here in the first session, I failed to remind everyone that we're beginning a new series in the booklets for this session, this series, are in the vestibule. You can do your daily devotional, as Pastor Roy reminded us on Wednesday night. There's a daily devotional guide in here. It's not just meant for Sunday morning, and you can pick that up. It's there for you to take with you and use in your home, use with your family. I meant to bring up with me, don't forget the Christmas for Christ envelopes that are in the vestibule. If you're wondering what that table full of the different envelopes is for, every year we take up a Christmas for Christ offering. And our offering date, official offering date, is December 24th. But those envelopes each have an amount listed on them, and you can take those and use them as a pledge to yourself. I'm going to give this amount. You can add them all up. I tried to give some of the larger numbers to some people in the vestibule earlier, and that didn't work, and I guess that's not how it's supposed to work. So I'm sorry, Brother Rivest. You choose for yourself how much you want to give. That's the whole idea. And challenge yourself. I dare you to even sacrifice a little bit, and God will bless you for it. Christmas for Christ raises funds to help church planters here in our district in the state of Wisconsin. 40% of all the money raised stays here in the Wisconsin district. In the North American Missions of Wisconsin uses that money effectively. And then also 60% goes to the national North American Missions to support church planters all around North America. Praise God. That's not even an official in our list. We want to remind you of our giving options. You can give in one of the offering boxes posted at the entrance to the sanctuary. You can mail in your offering. You can go to our website. Or you can give through the church app. It's called Church Center. You can load that on your phone. It's very easy. You can do that. If you're here and you're a guest of ours, we encourage you to just take a moment. Meet with one of our ushers or one of our greeters, and they'll ask you for a few points of information. They'll enter that in to the pad there, and you can we have a small gift for you to show you our appreciation. If you're online, you can do the same thing by going to the bit.ly link connect2cg. Please consider that. A couple of more announcements, and we'll get into the worship. Tonight, there is a men's ministry service at 6 o'clock. All the men said, woo-hoo. All right. Holiday service schedule, Sunday, December 17th. We will have our kids' Christmas play. Begins at 10 a.m. Yeah, no classes, 10 a.m. So we won't have the split session, 10 and 11, just be one session, 10 a.m. And the title of the Christmas play this year is Arrest These Merry Gentlemen. You'll see the flyers posted around the vestibule. 10 o'clock, December 17th, December 24th, we will have our Christmas Eve service. Begins at 10 a.m., no classes, one session, 10 a.m., Christmas Eve, Sunday, December 24th. Wednesday, December 27th, there'll be no service, no midweek service that week between Christmas and New Year's Eve. And then Sunday, December 31st, we will again return to our normal schedule, 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock worship and preaching. So on December 31st, our regular schedule begins again. These times are listed on the flyers in the vestibule. If you want to write them down or remind yourself, please do. Amen. One last thing. We have invitation cards. If you walk out this center aisle, you'll see It says invite someone this week. There's a stand there, and there are a number of different types of cards there. We want to encourage you, take some of those with you when you see the opportunity. It kind of makes it a little easier when you feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit to say something to somebody. There's always that little, I don't know, maybe not for you, maybe just for me, there's that little bit of a discussion that takes place between me and the Holy Ghost. Like, well, but I don't know what to say. Well, just say something. And it goes back and forth for a little bit, and sometimes I do it too long and miss the opportunity. If I had that card in my pocket, I can just say, hey, by the way, give them a card and leave it at that. Or answer any questions that they have. Peter said we should always be ready to give an answer to them that ask us about the hope that we have in us. Amen. Anybody have hope in their heart this morning? Amen. Let's stand. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. In Jesus' name, Lord, we're grateful for all that you have done. We especially think about you coming as a baby in the manger, but we also know, God, that you did that in order to pay the price for our sin when you were a man full grown. And we ask, oh God, that today the presence of God that you poured out because of the sacrifice that you made in the flesh, that this morning we would be submitted and committed and would receive and glorify that presence, your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord.
Pastor Seidel this morning taught on the holiness of God. And if you weren't here in this session, it was really good. But one of the things he mentioned is if you want to approach God and maybe something is holding you back, it's time for confession. So as we sing this song, talking about getting deeper with God, if there's something holding you back this morning, something you need to confess, something you need to leave at the feet of Jesus, I encourage you, do it this morning as we worship.
I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to feel you more than before. I want to touch.
More of you, Lord.
More of you.
more than we had before, God. More than before we walked in.
God, it's like nothing we will ever have on this earth. Amen. The Bible says it is higher, it is deeper, it is greater than anything we could ever experience. Good help,
it's higher, higher, higher than heaven. It's deeper, deeper, deeper than oceans. Greater, greater, greater than mountains. Your love. Oh, it's higher,
higher, higher, higher than heavens. Deeper, deeper, deeper than oceans.
Done for us what no one else could do or could ever do. So when we say hallelujah, it's for him.
And my hallelujah belongs to you. And my hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
Come on, sing it out to him. My hallelujah. So we say you deserve it.
You deserve it.
Lord.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
Come on, my hallelujah.
Hallelujah belongs to you.
My hallelujah.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Oh, no one else will get my praise but you, Lord.
Hallelujah belongs to you.
To my hallelujah. Don't cry, you deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
No one's more deserving but you, Jesus.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
See, all of the glory.
All of the glory belongs to you.
That's right. Of our heart and cry, you deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it.
Oh, you deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
No one deserves it more than you.
Praise the Lord, church. My hallelujah. Yes. Praise God, praise God. There's just a powerful, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. If you're a guest of ours, it is such an honor to have you here worshiping with us today. You can be seated this morning. It's great to have the Word of Life congregation, Brother Jeffrey, Sister Tracy Lomax. And many of you know their building caught on fire and burned down, and they're temporarily here with us. And just continue to pray that God would lead, guide, direct, and open up opportunities. But until those opportunities open up, it is just great to have them here also. Many of you have contributed to the Kelvin and Brooke Wells and the Carl and Cecily Grant families, that they lost their homes, and everything they own to fires as well. And just want to thank all of you for opening up your homes and your hearts to these two families. And very, very difficult going into the winter season, not having a home. And I'm thankful that God saved them. It could be a very, very different story. But God is so good, and there's so many. We're going to have them do a testimonial here in a little while. Not today, but in the future here, of all the just little things that happened that were just like little miracles here and there. And it's just like God is so good. It's so good also to have Pastor Steve Murray and his family with us today. They're from Illinois, just south of us here in Roselle, Illinois. And it's just so great to have them here. We have mutual friends in the Vicky and Ben Vernon. And she stated that he was her younger brother, and she tried to make me the older brother, but she's older than I am. So I'm not going to let her get by with that today. My old sister. And she's aging well, like cheese and fine wine, but nevertheless. I'm going to pay for this next time she gets the microphone, but it's so great to have them. Also, Pastor Seidel this morning did a great job preaching and our Bible lesson, and we do have our God's Word for Life. The new series is out, and many of you have asked questions about, Pastor, what do you do for devotions and such? This right here, whether you realize this or not, this is a weekly devotion. This isn't just Sunday, but this is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I want to encourage you, these are free. You don't have to pay for them. They have all kinds of areas in them to keep notes and various places to write. And it's very well done, and it goes along with our God's Word for Life series. So these are out in the vestibule, and make sure you pick that up on your way out. We started last week a series, and very excited about this because it's a very practical. I'm kind of one of those practical guys. I don't like things real fancy. Don't get me wrong, I like nice things. If I'm going to have Legos, I want nice Legos. For all of you Lego lovers out there, I admire that. You have your Legos all organized and all that good stuff. I like nothing wrong with nice things. But sometimes, you know, life can get complicated. And I don't like complicated life. And I feel that the Word of God was never designed to be complex, complicated, and hard to learn, that it's literally a series of principle after principle after principle of God's dealings and how God has dealt with humanity. And there's so many things that we can learn from God's Word. And so we're in a series, and we're talking about turning our failures into success. And what this really boils down to, when we could say the rubber hits the road on this, is it really is all about developing a mindset of overcoming. We read about this, we hear about this, we talk about this, we have struggles, and life is life. And no one here planned to have their church burned down or their house burned down. Nobody here planned to have cancer. Nobody here planned to have financial failures or marriage failure. None of this was planned. Life just simply happens. And it's how we respond to what happens to us that what makes us a failure or a success many times in our lives. So we started out, now for those of you that are taking notes, we are using the alphabet. The English alphabet has 26 letters, and we have a point for every letter. I've already been asked, what are you going to do on X and Z? Worry about that when X and Z come. But we have X and Z covered. So we started off with the letter A. And we have to, I'm going to just do a short review, and then we're going to get into new material. But admit when you mess up. This is a big problem we have in society today. Nobody wants to admit when they mess up. Pastor Seidel said this morning. Everybody wants to point a finger. It's somebody else's fault, the reason why I am the way I am. No, it's nobody's fault. People have influences, but you have choices. You have choices. And the best way to overcome failure is to look it smack dab in the eye, claim it, say it's my failure. And you know what? Learn from it and move on. You never were designed to stay in a continual, perpetual position of failure. Be boldly refuse to accept failure as final, regardless of how bad you messed up. Listen, we can mess up. We can do some big, bad boo-boos at times. And so many times we refuse to accept failure, or we have to refuse to accept failure as final. We feel like, well, I've messed up too many times. God's never going to love me. I'm just amazed, because last week's lesson, the teaching was going on talking about Peter and how that Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, who do you say I am? And it was a very prophetic, profound moment. He says, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but you got something going on in your mind that's connecting with the Spirit. You're beginning to see the big picture. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. And Peter, I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom. And if you keep reading, 7-8 verses later, Jesus is looking at Peter and saying, get thee behind thee, Satan. You know what? Peter didn't stay in a perpetual position of failure. He didn't allow his failures to dictate his future, no matter how bad he messed up. Concentrate, see, on what you want to accomplish. Sometimes we just have to focus on life. So many times we get caught up. I've read this in a devotion this last week. We get so caught up in time and controlling time and managing time that we forget to manage life. Stop focusing on the clock and start focusing on managing and focusing your daily life. Concentrate on what you want to accomplish. It's amazing what a human being can accomplish if they focus and concentrate, especially when we have the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost in us. D, decide in your heart. Decree and declare by the words of your mouth that your dreams. So decide, decree, declare that your dreams, your goals will come to pass despite any previous setback or any previous obstacle. There's power in your words. As a man thinketh. I've said this so many times. Everything we do starts as a thought process, and it becomes words and actions. Elevate your thinking. And this is a big point for us, because this is where words and thoughts make up about everything we say and we become. So we're going to move on to our next point today, and that is the letter F. That we are to free our minds from mistakes of the past, bondages of the present, and fear of the future. So free our minds. Now this point is a key point when it comes to turning our failures into successes. First of all, if it is not healthy, to continually rehashing our past mistakes. We cannot continue to recall sinful events for which God has forgiven us for. Now understand something. The scripture says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and everything, every time we boo-boo, he's going to be there making sure that we know we boo-booed. But we cannot, if you continue to look back and dwell on the past and always remember the past and what happened to you in the past, then what happens is the enemy gains a foothold into our thought process. As a man thinketh, so is he. As an individual thinks, our thought process. This is why Paul laid it out so clear to put on your helmet of salvation, because that helmet literally has the ability to save your mind. So we allow the enemy to gain a foothold. We just finished talking about this in our spiritual warfare series, that we have to keep the enemy out of our heads. On point, on the point F, that's the first. The second is God not only forgives our sins and our mistakes of our past, but God has the ability to do something that we don't have the ability to do. And I wish I had the ability sometimes to just forget, forgive, forget, and move on. We can forgive, but we don't always forget. But God says that I will forget your sins. I will forget your transgressions. He says, he makes this analogy, I will take your sins, whatever you did wrong last week, Scott Graper, God says, I'm going to take those and I'm going to throw them into the sea of forgetfulness, and I will not remember them anymore. So when somebody starts whispering in your ear that you messed up, you can say, it's not God. I've been forgiven. It's not God. It's the enemy wanting to get back in our heads. And we got to take and flush that out. So God forgives. He forgets. I love Isaiah 43:25 in the Amplified. Says, I, even I, am he who blots out and cancels your transgressions. For my own sake. God's saying, for my sake, I'm not going to remember them anymore. Can you imagine if God had to keep track of every time we boo-booed? Oh, my word. He would have a boo-boo book that's a mile long, a mile high. The Message, I like how The Message translates this. It says, but I, this is God speaking, but I, yes, I am the one who takes care of your sins. That's what I do. I don't keep a list of your sins. Listen, remember, it's Satan that is the accuser of the brethren, and that he loves, absolutely loves to continually remind us of our sins. Third and finally, in our letter F is, if you want to maximize your potential for the kingdom today and in your future, we have to learn how to manifest 2 Corinthians 2:5 into our lives today. What I'm saying is we have to learn how to take 2 Corinthians 2:5 and incorporate it into our daily living. You're going to say, well, what does that say? This is why we have the book of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd. Paul is writing and he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is a mouthful, and that is a tough job. I have yet to master bringing every thought into captivity. Forget the past. Bring every thought into captivity now. This is a tough process to follow through with, but we must strive to do our best. And we have to remember something, church, and I preached a whole series on this some time ago, that enjoying the journey, our relationship with Christ, it's not necessarily, it is a destination. There is a destination. We're all working towards heaven. But the thing that we sometimes miss out on is we're so focused on the end that we miss the today. Enjoy this journey. Enjoy this journey that we have with our brothers and sisters, and enjoy this journey we have with the. What brings us all together is our relationship with Jesus Christ. I would have never have known Brother Michelle Pena if it wouldn't have been for Jesus Christ. I would have never have known so many of you here if it wouldn't have been for a relationship with Jesus Christ. So letter G. Grab a new desire. Grab a new desire. We're getting close to 2023. It's hard to believe that we're literally just a few weeks and we will be, 2023 will be gone. And but we need, just because 2023 is gone and we look into 2024, we can grab, we look about making changes, and people like to do New Year's resolutions, and I'm not a big New Year's resolution. I like to make goals and such, but grab a new desire. Ignite a passion to make things happen instead of waiting for something to happen. I read some years ago, and this was a little book that I picked up, and it had all kinds of little quotes about business. I had started a business. I've worked, many of you know, 25 years or so in the construction trade, construction as a plumber, and I started a plumbing business in 1997, and I ran across this little book, and it had this little saying in it that self-employment or work can be like a wheelbarrow. Sometimes it has to be pushed. And I begin to think about that. I begin to think about revival. And I begin to think about how does revival happen, all the components. But basically, I'm going to wrap this up very simple. You take all the components of revival and you put them in a wheelbarrow. But it's not effective. It doesn't do anything until you pick that wheelbarrow up and you start to push it. And sometimes revival, sometimes life, sometimes goals, sometimes dreams that we have are like a wheelbarrow. Doesn't do any good until you got it in it and you start to push it. So a few suggestions, a few things that I've learned in this wheelbarrow analogy. First, realize that if what you've been doing isn't working, then stop doing it. I know. You have to persevere, you have to push through, you have to hit the wall one more time, but sometimes what we do just doesn't work, and you have to stop. Doesn't mean you stop doing it, perhaps, but you stop, then you assess what you're doing. You begin to think through what you're doing. Is this working? Am I getting enough bang for my buck? You can look at whatever aspect it is in your life, but you stop, you assess it, and then you reconfigure. Reconfigure. There's nothing wrong with taking a different angle, perhaps even at the same problem. Sometimes we just have to think differently. Stop, assess, reconfigure. It's time to do things differently. Secondly, believe that every promise of God is for you as much as it is for anybody else. So many times we think that God's promises are always for the person next to us. That we just have this, just, God, nothing ever good happens to me. I'm the guy that the car is always breaking down, and I'm the guy that always losing and struggling on the job, and I'm the guy that has all these issues, and you think and you keep thinking that and you keep proclaiming that, and yes, you become that guy. But you have to change your mindset. Believe that every promise that is in this book. I love that old song, every promise in the book is mine. It's mine, Pastor Seidel. It's mine. God gave them to me. But God also gave these same promises to you and to you and to whoever wants to claim those promises. So every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Yes, they're my promise. Third, you have to learn. You have to learn, yes. As a Christian, as a born-again Christian, we need to commit to learn the Word of God. We have to study. And it's not just learning it and studying it. That is important. But what the Lord wants us to do is to learn it, study it, and then he wants us to put it in that wheelbarrow and push it. He wants us to practice what we preach. Oh, you're kidding me? You're kidding me? Yes. All of the goal setting techniques, and I've heard so many messages on this. You can go back and listen to them, but you have to apply the principle. Nothing works until you apply the principle to your life. Listening does nothing but working, work, 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 and apply it. You know, gas doesn't do any good for your car until you put it in it, doesn't it? We go to the gas station, we pump our tanks full, we go to the grocery store. Listen, you can bring home $500 worth of groceries and sit them on the counter and starve to death, but it doesn't do any good until you pick those groceries up and put them in your mouth. The pills that you take, perhaps, you know what? I'm on a number of different blood pressure medicines because my blood pressure issues, and they don't do me any good sitting in a jar or in a bottle sitting on the counter. You got to take them. So nothing works until you apply it. Fourth, never get defensive over what didn't work. Boy, I've been in some meetings where we've had to discuss some things that didn't work. And man, people can sometimes get pretty torqued out over well, my idea, if I would have done it, if you'd have done it exactly how I said it. But don't get defensive over what didn't work. Instead, focus on what does work. Remember, what works for one family. This is a big one. In a church like this, we have a lot of families. And we have to understand something, that what works for one family may not work for another family. And we have a lot of people that feel like, well, I don't understand why they're having problems if they would just do it my way. You have to understand something. Sometimes doing it your way, even the Lord couldn't do it your way. So, never get defensive over what doesn't work. What works for your family may not work for another family. So focus on what works for you. A few years ago, we had a man named Dr. Ben Carson who ran for president. And he's attributed to this quote. He said, "You and I have the ability to choose which way we want to go. We have to believe great things are going to happen in our lives. Do everything you can to prepare, to pray, and achieve to make it happen." Sometimes life, sometimes revival is like a wheelbarrow, and it has to be pushed. Number H, helping others achieve their dreams will unleash a spiritual dynamic in your life that you've never dreamed possible. You see, we live in an extremely self-centered world, and so much of our world, it's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about what I feel like I deserve. So two powerful quotes that I ran across kind of underscore the importance or should I say the absolute necessity of helping other people. Jesus made this very, 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 very clear in many of his parables, especially the one of the Good Samaritan. So quote number one, successful people are always looking for opportunities to help others. Unsuccessful people are always asking, what's in it for me? Next quote, be true to yourself. Help others. Make each day your masterpiece. Make friendship, I like this quote, make friendship a fine art. Drink deeply from good books, especially the Bible. Build a shelter against a rainy day and give thanks for your blessings and pray for guidance every single day. Paul puts it like this in Ephesians, as he wrote to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 6:8. In this verse, he extends the principle that we have just been given to servants and all believers. He says, whenever a Christian serves with good actions from a good heart, he will receive back from the Lord. Cast your bread upon the water, and not after not many days hence, it will return unto you. The law of sowing and reaping, you cannot, will not, you can't, it's impossible to negotiate yourself around the law of sowing and reaping. This law was instituted, I believe, on the third day of creation, before humanity was even on the earth. God says, listen, I'm going to make some trees. I'm going to make some grasses. I'm going to make some fruit trees, banana trees, apple trees, pears, tomatoes, everything. And he said, everything is going to follow after its own kind. Its own kind. So make friendship a fine art. Build a shelter against a rainy day. Give blessings. Give thanks for your blessings. Paul says he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Those who bless others will be blessed by the Lord. Now, there's a word that's flying around. You read it a lot. I see it a lot in social media. Karma. Whole videos are, people have 30-minute videos on bad karma and things that happen to bad to people that do dumb things. But you see, sometimes we confuse with the idea of karma. Karma is not the same thing as what we just talked about and what Paul just talked about. Karma is a belief in Eastern religions that everyone does everything one does will be done back to them, more specifically that a person's actions create a balance of good and evil that they must account for in their next reincarnation. So this is not what Paul is talking about here. Instead, what he's saying is those who serve others are going to be rewarded by the Lord. He may bless believers both in this life and the next for good deeds, though many rewards, many things that we do will only be known and will only be made known until when we get to heaven. This verse also clarifies the principles applied to any kind of worker. Paul is saying in this, he's saying bond servant or free. It doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, how much money you have. He's saying, listen, it applies to all of us. All of us, these principles. Many of us today enjoy employment. A lot of us have jobs, but do you realize employment's voluntary? You don't have to work. Yet the principle of doing good for others in this context that Paul is talking about, he's talking about the workplace. That, you know what, you work in a workplace. He's saying, do your best. You're a representative of Jesus Christ. Do your best in your workplace. If you're in a workplace, be the best worker. Don't be the slouch that's always hiding in the broom closet to take and catch an extra 20-minute nap. We have to have good work habits. You want God to bless you? Have good work habits. If you work for a man or a woman or whoever for 8 hours, give them 8 hours of work for 8 hours of pay. Be a positive example to others. Provide a better. You say, oh, my work environment. Then that's your problem. Make it different. If you don't like your work environment, how about just changing it? Change your work environment. Open the door of opportunities to share Jesus Christ with other people that don't believe. So Paul is saying, whatever good things you cause to happen to someone else, God will do it for you. Even if you're a servant, a slave to the master, or if you're a bond servant, or if you just work a 9-to-5. You see, that's not only just good, sound advice. That's the word of God. I imagine yourself where you want to be in a week. Where do you want to be next week? Where do you want to be next month? And where do you want to be next year? So imagine yourself where you want to be, then plan your work. I love this little cliche. Plan your work and then work your plan to get there. So many people in life never get to where they want to go because they never plan. They just show up and expect life to just happen. It doesn't work that way. If you can see it, imagine in your future, and you can achieve it. But there are only two ways you can see something. Think about this. First, we can see it with our natural eyes. I'm sitting here this morning, I'm looking out across this congregation, and I'm seeing all of you with natural eyes. But I have eyes of faith as well, eyes of vision. And in that, we can call it, perhaps you may call it your imagination, but really it's your spiritual eyes. And it's just that most of us, our problem is we do very well with our natural eyes, but we have not yet fully developed our spiritual eyes. I'm working on that. And I'm finding out that the word imagination, this is interesting, the word imagination, according to Webster's Intercollegiate Dictionary, the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. Does that not sound a lot like, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? We have imagination. We have our faith. The thing that allows you and I to see the future before it happens. So if God has called us into a position, no matter what that is, our imagination goes there. Our faith goes there. And it's not long after that things begin to allow and begin to happen. Stephen Covey, the author, Brother Thompson's made mention of this many times, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He said this, live out your imagination, not your history. I love that. Our last point today is J. J as in joy. Joy is coming to your house. You see, we're talking about turning our failures into success. We're talking about developing a mindset of overcoming. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now think about that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't know, are we catching on to that concept this morning here? The joy. The happiness, the peace, the understanding of the Lord is my strength. You see, joy coming to your house, no matter the adversity or the intensity of yesterday's failures, keep your joy. Keep your joy. Let's stand and our musicians can come. When I think about the joy of the Lord being my strength, my mind goes back to an old song that we used to sing. And I'm not going to attempt to sing it, but I'll give you the words to it. And many of you are going to know this. It says, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Oh, listen, church, robbers can't take it away, this joy. You can go out, you can steal my wallet, you can steal my credit card, you can steal my car, but you can't steal my joy. But so many times we associate our joy with our stuff, and because we lose our stuff, we lose our joy, and we should take our joy, and it should be the joy of the Lord, not the joy of my backyard patio gives me strength. Not the joy of my camper gives me strength, not the joy, it's the joy of the Lord. Sickness can't take it away. Maybe facing illness this morning. You may be facing bad news this morning, but listen, you can still have the joy of the Lord. The IRS can't take it away, although if they could figure it out, they would. Psalms 30, verse 5 from the Amplified says, For his anger is but a moment. Talked a little bit about that this morning in our first session, the judgments, the anger of the Lord. I do not want God to get angry with me. But I think sometimes we do make decisions and we do things that gets God angry, disappointed. But he says in Psalms 30, verse 5, he says, for his anger is but for a moment, but his favor. Oh, his favor is for a lifetime. Or in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. If you look at this, joy follows weeping. So when Jesus is at the core of our existence, when we are at peace with him, worshiping him for all that he has done, and doing his will and continue to do, we have to remember all of God's word is for us. We read a passage in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Reading out of the Living Bible, it said, it is time to celebrate. Oh, I love this. With a hearty meal. With a hearty meal. Last night, we celebrated a hearty meal with John and Debbie Repka at our home. We had a good meal last night, bro. We had ribs, smoked ribs. I basted them in apple juice for like 2 hours and cooked them in a slow cooker and put them on a smoker. And we had hamburger meatloaf. You say, I'm like, meatloaf is a good way. See what food does to me? We're gonna wrap this up. We had meatloaf stuffed with pepper jack cheese, provolone cheese, peppers and onions. Rolled up, wrapped in bacon, and put on a smoker and smoked. And then we had smoked Cajun pork tenderloin with asparagus and butter, sweet corn, because my wife loves corn, doesn't like asparagus. We had a hearty meal. All because we have the joy of the Lord. It's the Lord that brings us together. It wasn't a cook-off. It wasn't a barbecue fair. It was the joy of the Lord. He is our strength, Brother Repka. Above and beyond food and above and beyond drink and nourishment, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And Nehemiah ends that with this, you must not be dejected and sad. I just love that. I can just imagine him telling all of Israel, listen, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's go together, have a hearty meal together, enjoy the presence of God. But you know what? We got to cut out that sadness, and we can't be dejected all the time. Oh, I'm so thankful. I serve a God that is so awesome. And I am attending a church with brothers and sisters that are just out of this world awesome. And I want to enjoy. I want every last one of us, because we all struggle with failures and successes in life. We battle this every day, and we all battle it differently. Some of us just hit it head strong. We lower our head and we hit that wall at a full run. And some of us, we sit back and we ponder and we contemplate and we frustrate ourselves. But God is telling us, listen, I want this church to develop a mindset of overcoming. Listen, if we can overcome, hear me now, if we can conquer self, hear me, if we can conquer self, we can conquer world. But we will never conquer world until we conquer self. That's principle. That's how it works. So as our worship team begins to sing this morning, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what you're battling. But I know that God wants to free your mind from mistakes of the past and from bondages of the present and fear of your future. So go ahead and sing.
If we may be formed,
open up this altar.
Prosper.
I just want to welcome you to come down.
When the darkness falls,
say, Lord.
Because the God I serve is on the highway triumph.
Frustrated, maybe, Lord.
My God will never fail. Lord, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, you won't believe it. Cause the God I serve has told me how to triumph. I know how.
We covered a lot of territory today. Typically, I give a quick review. I'm not going to do that. But I just want to take and end with our last point, the letter J, that joy is coming to your house. Joy is, Brother Lomax, joy is coming to your house. No matter the adversity, whether it's a fire, whether it's a sickness, no matter what it is, or the intensity, perhaps of any of your previous failures, keep your joy. Keep your joy. It is time to celebrate with a hearty meal and to send presents to those in need, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what's amazing to me is when we get to heaven, Scripture tells us it's going to be 30 minutes of silence. It'll be the first time many of us have never talked for 30 minutes in our life. But you know, you would think that in heaven that the next thing would happen would be like a tour, would be like a big, huge, grand welcoming party of some sort. I don't know, but the Bible says that the first thing we're going to do there, Sister Vicki, is we're going to sit down with the Lord. All of the saints from the Old Testament all the way to the last person that was baptized and received the Holy Ghost and repented of their sins. All of the children of God are going to sit down. I don't know what kind of a banquet hall that's going to be, but we're going to enjoy a meal together. I'm excited. I'm excited about heaven. Excited about our reward, but you know what? I'm excited about tomorrow and what God's going to continue to do in our lives and in our church. So God bless you. Once again, it's so great to have Word of Life. Pastor Lomax and Sister Tracy Lomax, love this family, this couple, and their saints, and greet them. And also, it's so great to have Pastor Steve Murray and his family here with us today. God bless you, and enjoy the rest of your vacation sabbatical. God will just bless you and renew your strength. God is so, so, so good. Shake hands with a brother and sister. Our brothers and sisters from VOSIS will be in here in 10 minutes getting started with their worship service practice, so make sure you are aware of that. God bless you. We will see you back here on Wednesday evening, picking up with the letter K. God bless you.